So yes. If you have thought that, wow, that's a lot of money, I don't know. Or if you have where you think $100 is a lot of money and you've manifested $1,000, you're only gonna hang on to that 100 because in your mindset, that's a lot of money. So you have to be really open of what you want in your life. And then you can create the pattern to open it up so that you really have a money mindset that, you know, you're worthy of having 100% plus infinity, like the ceiling is lifted.
Welcome to the Rich, Fit, and Happy podcast. I'm Crystal O'Connor, where we want to take you from drab to fab in this beautiful life. Let's go.
Hello, hello. Okay, I have a great guest on today. Welcome to Rich, Fit, and Happy. I'm Crystal O'Connor, your host, and I brought someone on here named Janet Schmidt. And just a second before I introduce her, I've always been fascinated with the mind because of some things that have happened in my life and how I was able to overcome it with changing my thoughts. And that's just, you know, basic cognitive behavioral therapy that I wish someone had told me before I hit age 30. Then I had some other fascinating things happen that was very similar. I thought it was called law of attraction. Here's the thing. The mind is amazing. And there is something, and I'm one that believes in God. I happen to be a Christian. I'm very open-minded and I don't necessarily care to convert people. That's not my thing. I'm open-minded. And I love to learn. But here's what I do know. There is definitely those that believe that what is taught in the Bible and mindset are not two different things, but they're very much similar. And we're not going to necessarily talk about that today. I just wanted to throw that in there for some of my Christian listeners. Want to talk about some really fascinating topics that Janet can help us with, because as you're growing your business, many of you have a business that listen, maybe not all of you, but some of you that have a business, you have seen yourself and you've had to transform and you've had to change your thinking. And sometimes it's harder than other times around specifically money. And that is what Janet's going to help us with today. Janet Schmidt, she's the creator and founder of Reprogram for Success and the Quantum Consciousness Accelerator, Integrative Holistic Healing, and she's a performance facilitator. And right now, Janet, you work with women, you work with businesses, CEOs, you go into human resources and help. I mean, you are on all different levels because the mindset touches everything, doesn't it? In all of those different many facets. But like right before I hit record, you said something really good. Can you remember what you just said and repeat it? Because I loved it.
What about money consciousness? We tend to allow ourselves to have a ceiling. So even CEOs, it doesn't matter whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a stay-at-home dad or whether you're a CEO or a business team, we tend to have a ceiling when it comes to money, when it comes to abundance or prosperity. And so it's kind of, you want to lift that off and take it to infinity. You want to just have it open up.
Yeah. And I think that the reason why I said what I said in the beginning, when I mentioned Christianity and the Bible, is because I was programmed, many of us were programmed to think that money was the root of all evil. And that, you know, there's the analogy of the camel not being able to go through the eye of the needle because of abundance. What in the world was that kind of programming doing to us? It didn't help us, that's for sure.
Well, I'll let people know a little bit about me. I actually came from 8 generations of ministers. So I came from Lutheran ministers, and I ended up during my journey lost what brought me to what I do. I ended up losing millions of dollars. And I had to ask myself, why did this happen? I mean, I was chairman of the board of a nonprofit that helped homeless women get a better education. I was raising funds for Tufts Medical Center. I was doing a lot of different things to help the underserved, and I just couldn't figure it out. And, you know, of course, the financial advisor got disbarred, the company got fined, everybody, but I only got 10% of what I lost. So I'm like, what brought me to these people? What was it about me? Mm-hmm. I don't go to the people, what happened? I actually said, what was it about me? And it took me through epigenetics, which we can get into, my programming from generations. I came from 8 generations of ministers who signed up to be economically challenged, who signed up to give their last cents to the underserved, and who really didn't have any money to manage. And whereas it's so honorable for them, and I don't take it away. And yes, I'm a Christian too, but I'm really open-minded. But I was like, I didn't sign up for that. And so that took me down the rabbit hole of reprogramming, figuring out how my subconscious mind and my conscious mind kind of ran even my inherited money consciousness. And so that was my inherited money consciousness.
So getting back to what you said, when how you lost over $1 million with dealing with these people, were you bamboozled? Is that what you mean? Were you tricked?
Well, this was a well-known international firm that is out there. And because I grew up thinking the money was the root of all evil, okay, that I gave my last cents to the underserved. So when I got the money, I was like, oh, now I can help a lot of people, right? Okay. And so when I came from all of that, you know, everybody just fed on me. And so my financial advisor, like I said, he was with a well-known institution that's international, that's still out there. And he just made an investment. I wasn't paying attention to what he was doing. I trusted the system because I wasn't used to managing it.
Okay.
I had that mindset.
So let's talk about programming and money and how powerful that can be and what it looks like.
Well, when we program, we have to go down and say, where did you get? Like if you're looking where you are and where you want to be. So what is it that's holding you in that pattern? And it's taking you through, and it can be painful for some people. You have to be really honest with yourself and say, okay, what characteristics are keeping me in this holding pattern? For some people, it's just plain out fear. Fear of actually stepping into that expansive self of them. Yeah. And so I find that that's one of the things that holds people back. And so it's really kind of being the student of your life and saying, okay, what are these characteristics? What are the traits? What are the emotions that go with it? Because people have to understand that even your thoughts, it has been proven that your thoughts affect yourself. When they go into the biofunction of your brain, it shows that your cells are affected by your very thought. So yes. If you have thought that, wow, that's a lot of money, I don't know. Or if you have where you think $100 is a lot of money and you've manifested $1,000, you're only going to hang on to that $100 because in your mindset, that's a lot of money. So you have to be really open of what you want in your life. And then you can create the pattern to open it up so that you really have a money mindset that, you know, you're worthy of having, you know, 100% plus infinity, like the ceiling is lifted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what you just said, so it's almost like what a person is used to. So a person can think $100 is a lot of money. And then a person could think that $1,000 is a lot of money. And then there are those that think that $1,000 is worth a penny and right. $1 million is a lot of money. That is all conditioning and all programming, right? Because a person that was born into money, we've heard that phrase before, born into money and is used to having access to thousands of dollars at all time, would not think that was a lot of money.
No.
Right?
No,
and they could easily attract more. And I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry, I got excited. No, no.
I was going to actually add that. So you're right. You're on the right track with all of this. So that's why when we look at people who are wealthy and they have children, their children end up being wealthy or it keeps, and yes, they inherit some of this money, but they also can manifest this amount of money or they can generate this amount of money. And it's because they have that mindset. It's just built into them. So you're absolutely correct in what you're saying.
Okay. So what about poverty mindset? What is that?
Poverty mindset. I mean, that was the other thing. I did grow up in poverty. So I understand that mindset. It's just, it keeps you in, I just want enough. As long as I just have enough, I'm good. I just have enough. Instead of thinking, I have much, much more than enough. I mean, if we want to get into what the Bible said, you know, to much is given, much is expected, but to much, much more is given, much, much more is expected. I will take the much, much more to give much, much more any day of the week.
Yeah, I see. Yes, because you can do more good with that. But there's a lot of reasons why, I'm sure. And I don't know all of your personal reasons, but when you've been able to live long enough to where you've experienced both, have you ever heard anybody say, I'll take poverty over riches? No, I don't think I've ever heard that one before. Okay, so let's talk about epigenetics and what that is. It's so interesting to me. And quantum physics, its relation to quantum physics.
Yes, quantum physics and epigenetics go hand in hand. I'll go with quantum physics first. Quantum physics says everything's energy. 99.9% of everything's energy. The table you're sitting at has energy. Everything has energy. and even our thoughts. And I mentioned that our thoughts have energy and it goes into our cells. And that's why we always want to have positive thoughts, positive health thoughts for our bodies. And so that's how Einstein said, match the frequency with the reality you wish for, and you can't help but bring it to you. That's not philosophy. That's physics.
Ooh, okay? I love that. Okay.
And really so then if we go from there, we go to epigenetics. And that's what I was talking about that I went down the rabbit hole of. So we have these genes that are programmed from our ancestors, from our parents, right? And they can be turned on and off. And that includes traits and behaviors and that sort of thing. So they can be turned on and off. And we inherit them. And as we grow up, as when we're born, right? We're in theta state, and we're in theta state until we're about 8 years old. That means we don't question anything. So when we go to school and Joey says he's the boss, we go home and I tell our parents, but Joey's the boss. And our parents go, no, they sit us down and tell us. But we think everything our parents say is gold. And so when we're listening to our parents as young children, we hear them talk about money. We hear them talk about relationships. We see the relationships and we take it all in like a sponge and we don't doubt it. We do not doubt it. And so after that, it goes into society and anything catastrophic that happens to you that's going to code your reality. But your epigenetics is really the imprinting that's from your ancestors, passed down from your parents to you. And I can give an example. My mom was fear-based about 99.9% of things that would never happen. And I ended up turning on that gene in me. And once I changed it to safety, security, and confidence, I literally changed the trajectory of my life because I'm changing it to safety, security, and confidence. So where I would have gone this way with fear, I would have made those choices. I'm now making totally different choices because I feel safety, security, and confident. And that affects you both personally and professionally. So people need
to understand. And those choices don't always have to be thought out, right?
No, it's just natural. It just naturally plays out because you don't have that other frequency, you know, energy, quantum physics. You don't have that connected to it.
Yeah. One of the things that it's a story that I share. I won't go into it, but it was an example of what you're talking about. It's something that changed my life. So I had in my subconscious that I was infertile because I was having difficulties. And because of a couple of things doctors said, I had that in my mind. Then without being told that's what I was doing, it just kind of happened. And it happened in church, actually. I wrote, show me the baby. And so I wrote it and I ended up writing it more than once and saying it out loud and seeing it and said it in almost like a chanting way without realizing it. And within 3 weeks, I drew a baby to me. We adopted, and then I found out I was pregnant. And so they're just 8 months apart. And that changed everything for me because I was like, what just happened? I thought this miracle had happened, which it did, but I was in charge of the miracle. Okay. Yes. So I needed to just step into it and I changed my thinking, which is what you're saying. And so can you take what I did and explain it a little bit better? I wrote it, I thought it, I said it out loud. And what did that do to my brain?
You started reprogramming your subconscious mind because your subconscious mind is an autopilot. It runs 95% of everything. So if you have a lot of people telling you you're infertile or you're hearing that, it's going into your subconscious mind. So even your conscious mind, that's the conductor of the ship that only has 5% influence. But when it decides something, it's done. You were told that. So you were programmed. But once you started reprogramming by doing the mantras, because I call them mantras or affirmations, by doing that, and really you were retraining your subconscious mind. Your conscious mind decided, nope, that doesn't work for me. I'm going to reprogram myself. And this is the other thing. And I will say this, you felt it. Mm-hmm. You felt the baby come to you. You felt it. And I'm going to tell this to people. I am sure they've heard this in, the law of attraction, but it is true. You have to have the visual. You have to feel it like it's already done and you cannot go back and question it. You can do the affirmations, but do not go back and question it. If you would have stopped and said, wait, they said I was infertile. If you would have done that, you would have stopped the momentum of bringing the subconscious mind being reprogrammed. You would have stopped it right there because you would have put a roadblock in there.
And you know what? I almost did that very thing when I got anxious about what if the biological mother changes her mind? Because when we got the call, do you want this baby? Meet us at the hospital. That happened like very, very quick. And I remember thinking, this is too good to be true. This isn't going to happen. And I tried to stop myself from getting my hopes up because I didn't want to be disappointed. And we do that to ourselves, don't we? We actually will reverse it without realizing it. And I realized at that moment when I caught myself, I thought, no, this is happening for a reason. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't set it in motion. And it's only going to stop if I reverse it with the fear of disappointment. So I realized I had been doing that most of my life. In most situations, the fear of disappointment, I would stop and prevent it because I didn't want to get my hopes up. So I just live in this state of no expectation out of fear.
You know, I would say probably as a young child, somewhere along the line, you were extremely disappointed where it made that imprint in you.
Yes.
And so you were conditioned at that point. And that's what I want people to understand. Usually everything that we're feeling or our roadblocks, like what you had, was conditioned from the time we're young children. So it's in that period from birth to about 7 years old. And that makes a very, very strong imprint. And so that also forms our behaviors and our thoughts and emotions.
Okay. Epigenetics is basically what it is it's not just our programming and our brains and what has happened since stepping onto the planet and being born. It's actually what we brought with us. Generational. Yeah. That's something that is so bizarre, but I believe it.
Think about it. Your parents carry what their parents teach them, right? And their parents, and it just keeps going down the line till it gets to you.
Yeah.
So it's generational. It cannot be stopped. And that's why when people are having a rough day or someone's rude or something like that, I have love and compassion because I don't know where they came from. And one of the things I teach business teams to create, like have the emotional intelligence to create a strategy to work together, is to have that understanding that each and every one of them comes from a different epigenetic background. They all have different traditions, emotions, thoughts, different catastrophic things have happened to them. So when they can understand that, then they can come as a group. And then we can put what I call goal balances or the goals that they have set forth. Then we can get everybody on the subconscious and superconscious mind together on that goal and they'll move forward. And right. You don't have to change anybody else's background to do that.
Yeah. I just had a memory. So when I had this experience with my daughter and attracting her, whatever you want to call it, and then my son, it wasn't but several years later that the book, The Law of Attraction, came out. And somebody at work was talking about it. I said, well, what are you talking about? And she tells me this book. And as I'm flipping through the book, I said, I know this already. I didn't need this book. Like, this actually works. And that is when I started implementing it more in my life. I apparently thought it was a one-time incident. It did transform my life and change my life, but I almost needed to hear it a few times and remind myself of that incident and really analyze it, because I'm an analyzer anyway, analyze that I did that and I can do it again. So, which is an example of, wow, the programming and epigenetics was really in there deep. And the fear of being ostracized about it and telling the story was also there. It was like my little secret.
Yes.
And maybe even there was guilt too for those that do it and it didn't happen quite like it happened with me. I remember though telling a friend, because she had PCOS and she'd been trying to get pregnant for quite some time. And when these both happened in a short period of time, I felt guilty. And so I said to her, I know that if you did these things, that you're going to attract it too. And you know what? It did. It literally did. So she actually adopted from a different country. And then shortly after they got her home, she became pregnant. And so I don't recall exactly if she did it exactly like I said it, but it is that simple. It can be that simple. Our brains are complicated, but the acts to change the complicated brain are actually very simple. And I'm sure you would agree. So let's talk about money consciousness again. Do you have anything to add to that? Because when I teach business online and coaching, for instance, and putting coaching packages together, there tends to be resistance around pricing. And I notice when somebody thinks that $6,000 is a lot of money for their coaching package, that I've helped them put together, I realize it's because they themselves wouldn't pay that. So I have to remind them, if you won't pay this price, then you can't expect someone else and vice versa.
Right.
So do you want to add any more to that about money consciousness?
Well, one thing I say to some of my entrepreneurs, and especially people who are charging like what you're talking about, they have packages or even their session is pricey or whatever, what people might think is pricey. I'll say, I had this one young lady and I said, well, let me put it in perspective that you can understand. People will pay X amount for jeans. They'll pay X amount for Botox. They'll pay X amount for this. They'll pay X amount for the outer shell. So what makes you think that on the inner shell, it's not worth, or, you know, even for your business, like what you're talking about, the coaches with the business plans, what makes you think that that doesn't have the same value or more, because you're setting them up so that they can do the Botox and do all this. Mm-hmm. And so there is a value in your service. So you have to see the value, and it goes to an abundant mindset too. I'm going to really kind of go into that, because we talk about inherited money consciousness, but that also has to do with your prosperity consciousness, your abundant consciousness, because prosperity isn't just money. Prosperity is somebody could give you a week at their beautiful ranch, or a week, you know, on a sailboat or something like that. And that's prosperity. Or they could even just give you a great parking place. It doesn't matter, but that these are all pieces of prosperity. Mm-hmm. And that's a value too. So when you start being able to see prosperity in every area of your life, no matter how small or how big it is, and feel abundant, you're starting to lift that, what you're talking about with your students, you're lifting that ceiling where they're like, oh, this is just all about abundance. And money is just part of that. So when we talk about inherited money consciousness, I'm also talking about abundance and prosperity, because they all go together. They all kind of go together, and we want them all. I don't know one person who doesn't want all this.
Right.
So just open your hearts to having it all, because you can. I truly believe that.
I like that you said that about prosperity isn't just money, because when I chose to call my program and my podcast Rich, Fit, and Happy, I knew I was going to be judged for that word rich, but rich doesn't just mean money. You can feel rich going and laying by the beach in a $10 chair or, yes, you know, a towel, and spend the day and feel rich. You can feel rich by being able to volunteer, because if you have enough and your bills are being paid and then you can go volunteer and that's all you wanted, that in itself is richness. So I just wanted to add that. So I love the distinction there that you mentioned.
I also talk about invisible assets. I just want to tell people this. Yeah. Start looking at what you call invisible assets. So we have the assets that we can see. So that's our bank account, you know, that kind of thing. But invisible assets are our relationships, our friends, that kind of thing. So start seeing your wealth in that too. Your abundance in that, your prosperity in what I call invisible assets that people might not see on a balance sheet.
Yeah. What is whole brain state? What does that mean?
So a whole brain state is kind of what you did for yourself. And I'm going to say that when I first cured myself of fear, I did something very similar to what you did. But a whole brain state is when you bring your subconscious mind and your conscious mind and your superconscious mind together. So basically, in essence, you're crossing your left cortex, which is your logical side, and your right cortex, which is your creative side, and you're bringing them together into a whole brain state on your new belief. And one of the techniques I do can do that. It's the fastest, most efficient way to change a self-limiting belief into a self-enhancing one. And it's called Psyche. And it's something that I use that literally will do it in about 15 minutes. I know that sounds crazy, but it works.
I bet that, wow. So can you think of one of your favorite transformations that you've worked with somebody and using this technique, and what changes occurred after?
Well, I had one young lady where we actually, when we put the balance in with Psyche, her voice changed an octave. And I just looked at her and I was like, whoa. I keep a metrics. So I make my clients all email me at some point. And if they don't, within a month, I'm emailing them. And so using some of my integrative techniques, I have a 95% success rate, and it's using the whole brain state. And so I had one client come to me and she goes, you know, my relationships are great. They're really great. but my businesses, and she had three businesses. She goes, they're not doing so well. And so we went into her abundant mindset and she put a limitation on her. It went back to her childhood. And so we removed the limitation because that's what I do. I decode and then we recode it. I actually remove the Psyche doesn't do that, but I do it before I implement Psyche. You decode and remove that belief system. And then you put in the new belief system, which is I have an abundant mindset. You know, I've increased my prosperity 100% plus infinity, something like that. And then we put that in and using this particular technique, it does cross your left cortex with your right cortex and brings you into a whole brain state on your new belief. So I hadn't heard from her in a month and I contacted her. I said, what's going on? And she goes, oh my gosh, I've had the most abundant month. It's like zooming along. And so it does work. And if anybody knows who Dr. Bruce Lipton is, he wrote The Biology of Belief about 20 years ago. It was a bestseller. In the back of the book, he writes, Psyche is the fastest, most efficient way to change a self-limiting belief into a self-enhancing one. And he said that's why he has great relationships and why he could finish the book.
Spell Psyche for me. Is it C-Y?
No, it's P-S-Y-C-K. The one thing that I do is I integrate a lot of different techniques. They don't believe that you have to move out the old belief. You can just go imprint on top. I like to know that the old that you're decoded on that. Mm-hmm. I like to really be thorough and make sure that it's completely gone. And okay. Then I always finish with Psyche.
Okay. So you've told us about Psyche. Tell us about emotional, you said something about emotional, what was it called?
Emotional resilience tools.
Now, emotional resilience tools. Okay.
Yeah. Now, one of my favorite to use with my clients is something that the samurais used prior to going into battle. So if everybody's game, it's only 90 seconds. So are you game? So we can.
I am game. Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, if you're driving, don't do this. Just listen to this.
Okay.
But if you're sitting down, so I'm going to ask everybody to just take a deep breath in. And as they exhale, close down their eyes. So take another deep breath in, and as you exhale, just let it just flow down your body and relax. Now gather all the thoughts and all the emotions in your head. Just feel them all in your head, and we're going to flow them down to 2 inches below your navel, which is called the Hara point. So we're going to go down, 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 let it flow down, down to 2 inches below your navel. And now from that point, see a bright light. And from that bright light, see the light flow down your legs to the ground, to the center of the earth. And just feel all the emotions and thoughts just flow down from the point down your legs to the ground, to the center of the earth. And now you can open your eyes.
Okay. That actually felt kind of wild. There was a lot of visualizing there.
Yes. The samurais used to use this prior to going into battle, because they knew they'd have all the thoughts up in their head. So they'd be top heavy and easier to knock off their horses.
Oh.
So it allows you to bring it down to your Hara point to center you and allow whatever needs to be flushed out. And you can go into any meeting, even if you're in the middle of a meeting, or let's say you're coming home from a hectic day, you can sit in your car, do this before you go see your family. And you can be fully present when you re-engage. And that's does. It makes you be fully present. It brings you all the way back and gives you clarity.
And maybe even going to speak on stage that so many people are afraid of. That's like one of the biggest fears, right? So it might even help with that, because the anxiety does, it can feel like you're going to battle.
Yes. As somebody who's kind of done that. Yes, I agree. I agree. I have my own system before I go on, but yes, I 100% agree with you.
It's just, it always amazes me that that's the number one fear that everyone has. But I think it's because of the level of anxiety that they're feeling right before. I mean, I can actually still feel it, can't you? Like that feeling, and how much worse it was the first time you did it. There are some people that have shared with me, they feel like they're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the craziest thing, but it's so empowering when you break past it, because then you can think, if I can do that, I can do anything, right? So many things have now come to fruition in terms of what I'm capable of. Anyway, so that was a really cool 90-second example and just a little bit of a nibble of what else you do, right?
Yes. Yes, there's so many different, I equip my clients with so many different tools that will assist them in even changing a situation. You can think a situation's going to happen one way, and just by showing you how you can change your frequency by switching it a little bit up.
Yeah.
And it rules out the way you had switched it up.
Yeah.
I think we have a tendency as a society to hang on to negativity. We forget the good things, like we get joyous about the great things, but we don't hang on to them like we hang on to the negative things. So I teach my clients more how to live in the positive, in the, you know, it's kind of like everything's working out to my advantage. Something can look one way, but if you have the philosophy, everything works out to my advantage, I guarantee you, if you start saying that, you will notice how things roll out to your advantage. It's just going to happen that easy. I equip them with all really high frequency so they get out of that mindset of going, because we're so trained by our society. I mean, even our news on TV is mostly negative news when we know there's wonderful things happening in the world, but we're programmed. And so I like to give my clients the tools so that they can live a really happy, prosperous life and make that adjustment in their frequency, because that's everything.
I heard somebody admit, and I was like, wow, when they admitted this, and it was like someone in Hollywood, some famous actor or actress, they were admitting this. And I remember thinking, wow, I have that too. And what it is this bad thoughts, like we'll just be going along driving and you have this horrific thought that you were thrown from the windshield. I can't remember the specifics of their story, but it was like horrific. Or we have an image of somebody, you know, we hear about school shootings all the time. We hear about shootings all the time. And so it gets in there. And then we have this thought, what would I do if this happened? And we actually visualize it. Why are we doing such a horrible thing? Is it the programming?
Yes, I believe I call it automatic negative thoughts that come in our minds. We've been trained that way. That's why I say everything's working out to our advantage. Or when I have a thought like that, I say, isn't it wonderful? Something marvelous is happening to me right now. I switching the channel. I used to tell that to my daughter. She was a little girl and used to have these nightmares or whatever. And she'd tell me, I go, just switch the channel. It's just like TV. Just switch the channel. And she would. And she's remembered that to this day.
Sure, it's helped her so much. So having too many of those thoughts is a pretty good indication that they need your Psych K or ERT, right?
Or even go through EMI or EMDR. I offer that too. I use EMI, which is like EMDR. And what that does is it's for people who have trauma. If you've experienced trauma in your life, the reason why people have a hard time healing from it, and they keep going back to the thought, back to the thought, and back to the thought, or they get triggered, is because their left side of their brain and the right side argue over how to heal it, because trauma is held fragmented in our minds. And so you got this logical side that says, I know how it's done, and another that says this. But through EMDR or EMI, it's kind of a movement. And all it is crossing over like this and moving like this. And you're following it with your eyes without moving your head and going through it while you're thinking about the situation. And literally 90% of my clients, after one session, are from a 10 down to a 2.
In regards to what?
Of their feelings and the negative thoughts and just that energy, that anxiety, the anxiety of the energy, it brings them from a 10 down to a 2.
Okay.
And then I start the kind of decoding after that.
The decoding. I like the sound. I don't know why I like the sound of decoding.
It's because we're coded or programmed, but I like to use coding. So it's decoding you and reorganizing. Some things just need to have to be reorganized, but a lot of things need to be recoded in a different framework.
Very good. Oh, so one more question. What is neuro-linguistic programming?
Oh, so neuro-linguistic programming, for those who don't know, it can be referred to as NLP. A lot of people call it NLP.
Yes.
So neuro is about the mind, right? Linguistics is about our language, how we communicate. And this might surprise some people, but We only communicate about 7% with our words. 93% is with our emotions, our actions, our eyes. Our eyes tell us everything. I mean, when they say the eyes are the window to the soul, if you watch somebody's eyes, I mean, seriously, you can learn so much if you just are present in the conversation. Don't think about what you're going to say next. Just focus on the person and listen to what they're saying and watch them. Wow. And you learn a lot.
I noticed that I do, and so I question why I do it, but sometimes I'll sit for long periods of time when I do a lot of interviewing like this, and I do a lot with my hands. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And I wonder, what am I doing? Like, the person I'm talking to isn't doing it. Why am I doing it? And tell me right now what you know. What does it mean? I'm almost afraid to ask. Does it mean I'm thinking? Is it helping me think?
No, I think you're, no, to me, you're listening, you're engaged.
Oh.
You're being present. It's really, if somebody's really pulled back, you know, that means they're kind of maybe offended or not quite in agreement with what's being said.
Yeah.
The directions of our eyes mean things. So if somebody's looking up to the left, you know, while they're talking to you, they're remembering something. They're recalling. Yeah. If they're looking up to the right, they're creating it.
Someone told me that they heard from the FBI or something that looking to the left meant you're lying. Or something like that. And I thought, no, I do that. And I know that I'm not lying. So that can't be true.
I think it's to the right. It's to the right. And NLP teaches it that it's to the right. If somebody looks up to the right, they're creating a story.
Oh.
That's why the FBI looks. So if I'm looking to the left, I'm recalling something or I'm trying to remember.
Wow.
And it's the same with if I'm looking to the left side, I'm recalling sound. If I'm looking to the right side, I'm creating sound. So if I was telling you a story about the ocean, right? And I remembered the memory, but I'm trying to create the sound. I might look over directly to the side. Kinesthetic is if you're looking down. And I would tell people, this is a great way to find out how your children learn, to see if they're a visual learner, they are from sound or kinesthetic. And it really does help with that, figuring out how your child, but watch, and I would say this to anybody who has children, watch, ask them to tell you a story and watch. They will look up to the right.
Oh, I love that.
They'll look up there several times to the right because they're creating the story for you. Yeah. It's not always bad when somebody's looking up to the right because they might be creating a story.
They might also be trying to create a way to verbalize their thoughts too.
Right. Yeah. I think also in NLP, there's different ways they teach that we bring in information. So there's all different ways. There's, you know, the way that we take in information that can be creative, but also, and that's kind of how we create our future. But if we're really unrealistic with that, we can get hurt if we're absolute in that. There's kind of a generalization where we could say that all German shepherds are mean when they're not. And we can look at the whole world that way. That's kind of
general. I have a German shepherd right here.
Oh, that's funny.
He's part German shepherd.
And then there's the other way where we kind of leave out information because that suits us. So we could kind of just ignore certain information, but that can also be dangerous in business that if you're so laser focused on something, but you don't see all the other information out here, it could be detrimental to your project. So it's different ways also to decipher how you're taking information in. This is something that they teach, but they also teach, you know, how to switch the picture and what I was talking about before so that you can create situations to benefit you. And so I use NLP as also another way to decode, which also has hypnotherapy in it too, because I use that too in my sessions. Self-hypnosis, I'm a big fan of. So these are all techniques that when they're integrated all together, which it depends on the person, we're all different. We make all different choices. We have different programming, different coding. And so depending on who comes to you, you're going to shift it up. But I will say I always close out with being in the whole brain state on whatever the individual or client wishes for.
I love it. Okay, this is great. So there's a lot of therapies that you use. And I'm going to put all of your information and your links for people to get in touch with you in the show notes. But do you want to kind of end with telling them where to go as well?
Yes, you can go to janetelaineschmidt.com. And you can get a hold of me there. I'm also on Instagram, Janet Elaine Schmidt. It's all Janet Elaine Schmidt. So all you have to do is put that in, even in LinkedIn. And I do give a free 10-minute consultation. So if you want to see if you want to work with me, it's on there also. So if you want to explore what can work for you.
Yes. And if you are climbing the ladder of anything, whether it be in your career, starting a business, growing a business, you need to get your income to the next level. This could help in so many ways, help you break past whatever is stopping you, because it's almost always yourself. I know that from personal experience. For joining me, everyone, and bye, Janet.
Bye. Thank you for having me.